Well, today marks the day of my favorite week of the year. I love Thanksgiving. I absolutely love it. It has always been my favorite holiday, and at this point, all I can do is really just give a chuckle at the war between Halloween and Christmas. Because my favorite holiday is being squeezed and squeezed and squeezed into non-existence. I did like the picture that, you know, those big inflatable yard things that everyone decorates. You know, all the polar bears and the elves are already out. And one of them had Santa Claus on its side and the turkey was sitting on top of him with a sign that said, "Wait your turn, fat man." I love Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving. And just this time of year, because it's, you know, if you're from another place, then you get to enjoy the leaves changing and seeing all the reds and the yellows and the oranges. Or if you're like me, you notice Thursday that there was a bunch of leaves on the ground. That there is fall, right? I get those. I love those signals that we have when you put on the jacket in the morning and you're sweating by the afternoon. I always get that signal because my wife gets out. She gets out the winter bin. We pull out the bin and it's got the sweaters and the jackets. I say, yes, it's that time of year. It must be getting colder. Must be getting colder. And I love the fact that Thanksgiving is a holiday that's based on fellowship. It is a holiday based on table fellowship and not gifts. Because, you know, if you celebrated one of your kids' birthdays or Christmas, that it's just, everything else is just a prelude to ripping paper off of boxes. Right? But Thanksgiving is like, yeah, there's not really any paper or boxes. We're just going to slow down. And we're going to share this food. And we're going to eat together. And we're going to give thanks to God. And we're going to remember Him in all that He has done for us. Well, long before we celebrated the harvest with turkey and football and Thanksgiving and all of its traditions, Jesus was giving thanks for miraculous meals set before Him. And I'd like us to take a look at a couple this morning. Turn in your Bible to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 1. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following Him because they saw the signs that He was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there He sat down with His disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up His eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward Him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test Him, for He Himself knew what He would do. Philip answered Him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to Him, "Well, there's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in this place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, He told His disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that He had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." I bet there's a couple people here this morning that wish Thanksgiving dinner was that easy. Somebody bring a sack lunch. We're going to say a prayer and it's going to be enough. It's going to be enough. God provides this miraculous meal. God provides this miraculous meal. And Jesus, He says, "Hey, what are we going to feed them?" And He already knew what He was going to do. He already knew what God was going to do. And they said, "Well, there's not enough here." And one of them has enough faith to say, "Well, this kid has a lunch. So, I mean, there's that." And Jesus says, "Well, give me that lunch." Give me that lunch. He takes that lunch and he gives thanks to God. He gives thanks to God. And in doing so, God provides a miraculous power. Jesus takes the bread and having given thanks, he gives the loaves to the people and he gives and he gives and he gives and he gives. Everything we have is a gift from God. And it is a reason to give him thanks. And it is no small accord that Jesus says, I want you to gather up everything that is left over. I want you to gather up everything that is left over. Now, this may have been the start of a beautiful tradition. I don't think they had Tupperware, but Jesus may have been, you know, sending leftovers with everybody. No, really, take it. We don't need it in the house. Take it with you. Go. But I think something bigger is going on here in that Jesus is showing all that he is providing is more than enough. That he is going to outgive what we need. That he is going to outgive what we need. In church, a thankful heart is such a beautiful thing. Because so often we have our needs and our wants confused. We get those mixed up. And we look at what we want and what we don't have. And that leads our hearts to become not very thankful. When we look at all the things that we don't have, all the things that we would like to be fixed, to be better, to be perfect. And when we look at our lists of undone and half finished and still need, that doesn't provide thanksgiving in our hearts. That provides unrest and unsatisfaction or dissatisfaction. And so we must keep our hearts filled with thanksgiving for the abundance that God provides, knowing he has given us more than we could ask or need. God is good. God is good. And so this week, when you are around your table and God has provided so much blessing, know that God provides more than you need. He provides more than you need. Now, this is Passover, and this miracle that Jesus provides to the power of God is connected to that Passover that Kevin read for us in Matthew's gospel. It's his final one, and he says, have them prepare the place for me to eat this final Passover meal. And they go and they eat that meal that God's people have eaten year after year after year. And they are remembering what God has done for them. And we'll take a minute because the Passover was such a big deal in Jewish faith and in the Jewish life. Because in that moment, at the end of God's plagues, that God swept through an entire nation that was holding his people hostage. And he brought death to every household. There was not a household of the natives, of the locals, what have you, of their captors, that was untouched by the power of death. It came through in the night, it swept through and it took. And it took, and it took, and it was a very small thing in the eyes of the Lord. But death came through. And he said, but you, my people, you who will have the blood of the Lamb spread over the door and down the sides. He says, when my angel comes through the land, my angel will look and will see that blood and will pass over your house in safety. Well, after that night of death, Egypt finally said, you can go. No more. No more. We thought we could take all the rest of it, but go. Go worship your God. Go have your freedom. Live your life. And so Jesus is celebrating that holiday with his disciples. Jesus is celebrating the freedom that God had given to his people all those years before. And then he does something amazing. He takes what is one of their most beloved religious exercises, holidays, ceremonies, and he takes it and he uses it for his own and for new purposes. He gathers the disciples that are, well, he doesn't gather them, they're already around the table. He's sharing the Passover. They have read the scriptures. They have taken the bitter herbs. They have broken bread. They have taken the drink of the fruit of the vine. They have celebrated this freedom that God provides. And then he talks about being betrayed. And he says, one of you are going to betray me. And he lets Judas know, yes, it's you. And then even after that betrayal, Jesus goes right into this new use of the meal. And he opens up for us the meal that we still celebrate today. We call it the Lord's Supper. It is his. He provided it for us. And we continue to share it. And he breaks bread. And he looks at the disciples. And he says, God has given me a body that is to be broken for you. Now just let the example of Jesus, who we love, who we are thankful for, who we aspire to, let us see how he views his own body. This is my body, which is broken for you. Church, what greater love is there than for one to lay down their life for someone else? We spend so much time and energy preserving ourselves, prolonging ourselves, satisfying ourselves, satiating ourselves. And Jesus says, my body is given for you. My body is in service to you. In the same way, he took the cup and he gave thanks. And he says, this cup is my blood, which is a new covenant, a new promise. Excuse me. A new promise, the forgiveness of sins. That Jesus, in shedding his blood on the cross for us, says now, each and every one of you who are God's people, each and every one of you who believe, who trust, your life is that doorway with my blood painted over the top and down the sides. You are covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. And when death comes through, you shall be passed over. When death finds every house, every home, you will be safe. That's how much God loves you, and that's what we have to be thankful for. Jesus Christ has died for all of us. The amazing thing about these two meals and these two stories, two important meals worthy of thanksgiving, is how much God provides. He provided all that food in John chapter 6, so much so that there was plenty left over. And then he provides mercy for all 12. One of them was about to betray him. One of them was about to lead him to his destruction. And he provided food and mercy for him as well. God's love and care and mercy is given to us and shown to us in such abundance that there should never be a reason for us to complain of lack or want. We have everything. We have everything. And if there is something that we think we don't have, it's either not meant for us or not given to us yet. Well, if food is important enough to give thanks for, then God deserves thanks for all things, doesn't He? Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. If food, bread, and wine are so important as to stop and give thanks, and this is really, there's only, outside of the two that we saw this morning, there's only one or two other places in all the Gospels in which Jesus specifically gave thanks. And so a lot of that is for food. And the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 5 would say, well, look, it's not just food that we should give thanks for. But look what he says starting in verse 15. Ephesians 5:15, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Anyone ever looked around today and thought the days are evil? Yes, sir. All right, so then look carefully how you walk. Look carefully how you walk. Because the days are evil, anybody focus their energies on how evil it is all around you rather than how you are walking? It's easy to do, isn't it? Absolutely. We've fallen in the trap of looking around. And Paul says, hey, the days are evil. So look at yourself. Look at yourself. Look how to walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the best use of the time. What's the best use of your time? What's the best use of your time? What is the most important thing that you could be doing today? What's the most important thing you can be doing tomorrow? Make the best use of your time. Church, start the day with God. What is the most important thing that I need to know today? What's the most important thing that I need to do today? Our time is limited. God has given us a body. And we, in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, understand that this body is in service to Him. How best to serve today? How best to give today? Make the best use of your time. Verse 17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Give your lives. Ben read for us this morning. Our lives are a living sacrifice. Give your lives for the sake of others. But others don't deserve my life. Others don't deserve my time. Others don't deserve my energy. But Paul says we submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. We revere Jesus Christ so much that we will allow ourselves to become servants of others. That we love and honor and respect Jesus so much that we understand that the giving of ourselves is not about deserve. It's not about deserve. It's about love. It's about giving in spite of deserve. Because God, in His mercy, did not give us what we deserve. God sent His perfect, beloved Son while we were sinners to die for us. And so the Apostle Paul, as a part of that eternal kingdom, as a part of having his eyes literally opened by the Lord, can write to the church that we give thanks always and for everything. God has declared every day Thanksgiving. It's not just a Thursday in November. It is every single day God has given us everything. And so our lives are lives filled with thanksgiving. Honestly, I really love verse 19, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Interesting verse that we a lot of times we use for our worship together. I think it's more of a Mary Poppins type verse. That your conversations to one another should be very sing-songy. That everything that you say to one another, it always just goes over a little bit better if it's sung, right? Right? A spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. Any of you moms out there in teaching your kids to do chores around the house or basic hygiene have put it to a sing-song type? Anyone guilty of that? Yeah. Yeah, it goes better with music, does it not? Absolutely it does. It does. Everything goes better with music. So address one another in psalms and hymns. That is, we're not just talking to one another. We're not just telling each other about our day. But we are using the Word of God as the soundtrack for our lives. And that's amazing. That's amazing. If we live every day as Thanksgiving, church, God is glorified. And the world becomes a witness to His glory. And we have faith, hope, and love. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I want to close it out here this morning. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, the Apostle Paul writes to the church and he is thanking them for a gift. They've collected money for poor Christians. And he says, look, this is a big deal. I mean, to get a chapter in the Bible, it's got to be a pretty big deal. And he has gone to the churches he has collected for Christians that are in need. And of course, we can relate to this. We give to those in need, and we provide for those who are in our number, who are outside of our number. And we take every opportunity to give. And so Paul here connects thanksgiving with giving ourselves in such a powerful way that it really helps us understand when Jesus says it's just happier to give than it is to receive. That's where joy is found. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, let's start in verse 6. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency or contentment in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. So Paul says, look, God provides everything so that we may give. And how are we to give? Cheerfully. Cheerfully, not reluctantly. Not reluctantly and not under compulsion. All right, two ways we are not to give. You know what I could do with this? Not reluctantly and not having been browbeaten, right? So you don't need your own heart holding back and saying, I don't know if I want to give this. I don't know if this is meant for someone else. And you don't need me or anyone else beating you up and saying, hey, you need to give that. You better give that. That's not how we give. We give out of cheerful hearts that know and understand that this is how God works. He provides for us so that we can provide for others. He blesses through us. He blesses through us. Church, this is such a big deal. And He gives a promise. He says, look, if you just put one seed in the ground, how many plants do you think you should expect? Hopefully the one, right? He said, if you're just going to put one seed in the ground, you're just going to expect one plant. But if you're throwing seeds all over the place, you should expect a harvest. You got to put it out there. You got to put it out there. It is a 100% act of faith to not only be a giver, but to be a cheerful giver, to say God provides everything and I can't outgive God. I can't outgive God. He's going to provide. He's going to give me everything I need to give to others if I'm a giver. Right? Now, if I'm not a giver, if I'm not living with a giving heart, I probably shouldn't expect it to be there to give. However, if I am a giver, if I am happy to be taken care of by God, and if I am happy to be used by God as a minister of all that He is providing, then we decide in our hearts. We decide in our hearts. Have you ever had the Holy Spirit move you like you get found money, bonus, something extra happens, and just immediately, as soon as you get it, in your Thanksgiving, you're like, all right, we're doing this and this. You just decide in your heart. Something happens on the way to writing that check, doesn't it? You ever just get that spiritual warfare of, well, I know we said we'd do that, but something's come up. That was a good thought, but I think we can go with less. I think we can go with less. How many times have we just made that bold, I'm going to give all this? And then when it comes to actually giving, we go, he'll be happy with this. Has it even been a month since we read Ananias and Sapphira? Because what'd they say? We're going to give all this. We're not really giving all that, but what do they know? It's crazy. It's crazy that God would hold us to such an exacting standard over something that is done out of our free will. Whew. Yeah, that's something. All right. Take a look at verse 8. This one's important. If you're a highlighter, this is highlight worthy. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency, or, and again, the word is contentment. All contentment in all things at all times. Oh, really? Really? Lord, you are calling me to be content in all things? Wait, no. Oh, sorry. I don't want to mess it up. All contentment with all things at all times. How much room does that leave for complaining? Zero? What? I got to tell you, this Christian life is something else. All contentment with all things at all times. Zero worries. Zero complaints. Zero problems. Because God provides everything so that we can be generous and givers. Somebody ought to start a church. I don't know, a group of people. I tell you what, that's probably a bunch of people that are singing to each other like Mary Poppins. Right? God has provided everything. God has taken care of everything. And my heart is content with everything at all times, 100%. Oh, boy. All right, church, I'm gonna throw it. It's Thanksgiving week. We've read a lot of verses. I'll challenge you to one. Just that one. This week. All contentment in all things at all times. Except you got to read the whole verse, because all that contentment produces what? Every good deed. God takes care of us so we can take care of others. He doesn't do it just to make us satisfied and comfortable. He does it so that we will increase a harvest, so that there is more thanksgiving to God. You are going to give thanks for your meal that you eat on Thursday, are you not? Well, God's a little more concerned and a little more, well, He's looking a little deeper. And He is saying, I want you giving and taking care of other people around you. I want you trusting me so much that you can give to others cheerfully, so that they will see the good that you are providing for them and say, what purpose is this gift? This gift is from God. God does so much for me that He wants me to share with you. Well, give glory to God. Absolutely. Because God is looking for more and more and more to give glory to Him. What more? What better could we do this week than to give glory to God? And what more can we do in our service than to reach out to others, to give what God has provided for us, so that they too can give glory to God? Provide needs, and it produces thanksgiving. Church, you and I have been enriched to be generous. God always gives more than enough. That was the point of all the leftovers in John chapter 6. That was the point of sharing the cup with Judas. God provides more than we need. So be generous. be generous. God has provided more than we need. And church, the sad fact is, on Judgment Day, when death comes, there's going to be a lot of the blood of Jesus left in the can. There's going to be a lot of mercy and forgiveness unused because they don't know. Would that they knew. Would that we would tell them. If you're not a Christian this morning, we invite you to come to the gift that God has given all of us. Church, let's be generous. Let's be grateful. Let's give thanks. Let's be content completely for all things and at all times. The world needs to see Jesus. And we can't complain that the world is bad and doesn't see Jesus without looking at ourselves. Let's stand together and sing.